Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah, it's episode number what? What is this episode? What?
Hello.
All the numbers,
my name is Rick
my
Jenner,
list.
Episode
237 is what it is. That's what it is. Yeah. You would think I would fix this stuff. There's absolutely no preparation going into this program. There's no script. There's no nothing. There's no notes. It's just, you know, it's just you, me, and whatever's rattling around in my head. Such as it is. Got a great show for you coming up this time out. Big T and Johnny Drummer going to entertain you with a fantastic conversation. More fun than the law allows, which is, you know, it's whatever. It's all happening here in just a little while. Wanted to hip you to something. I don't know. Memphis is an interesting town. It's a tough city. We've talked about that before. It can be. It can be very difficult. And here's what's up. And it's trying to be progressive, which is good. You know, you gotta advance through technology. You gotta advance through space and time. You gotta do what the people want. The people apparently wanted bird scooters, and we've got them. Yep, we got an infestation of bird scooters, and it was fun. I've never ridden one. Don't really have any intentions to, because I don't know that my medical insurance would cover a horrific accident that would probably have on one of those things. I mean, like I said, they look like they're a good time and whatnot. And where we live down here in the Cooper Young area, it's Midtown. There's also, you know, down the road, there's the Overton Square area, another entertainment area, the theater district. It's all right around here where it's all entertainment stuff. And there's those rent-a-bikes, and then there's those damn bird scooters. And the scooters they're beginning to wear out their welcome around here. The kids love them; they have a good time with them, I suppose, such as they are. But they're becoming a bit of a nuisance as people are just dumping them onto the sidewalks. This is what's happening out in Los Angeles. They've got Bird, and they've got another company that's doing. I can't think of the name of it, but they're out there as well. And people are just have zero respect for these things. They'll rent them. And they'll ride them around, but when they're done, man, they're throwing them in the ocean. They're just throwing them in garbage cans. Some people are setting them on fire. Some people have had just flat enough of them, and I think the honeymoon is over with the bird scooter. Some of these guys are riding down through the bike lane on it, and you're driving, you know, and you're in your car, you know, your 2,000-pound piece of steel, and you're riding down to wherever it is that you're going. And one of these little bastards, they'll pull out in front of you. And that's not going to do anybody any good. So it's become a bit of a traffic nuisance. But I looked into it a little bit, and I don't have any solid notes here in front of me, so we're going to do this together. What they charge, what kind of money is involved in this? Now, here's what I do know. This is what I do understand, that when the city of Memphis approved it, they allowed that the Bird Company would pay the city $40,000 a year. That would go into maintaining sidewalks and bike lanes in the city as part of the deal, and then there's some other things going. But that's the bottom line, is about $40,000 a year, and I think there's a couple of other fees, but that's kind of what that is. Now, on top of that, I did the math on this kind of in my head, and I'm not very good at math in my head, but to sign on to the thing is $1. Right. As soon as you whip out your phone, you get the app and you're all set up and you put your payment information, blah, blah, blah. And then you go to scan one of these little things and it charges you $1 right there on the spot. And then it's 19 cents a minute. Rounding that up, that's like $12 an hour, because my math is those things make more than somebody working at Mickey D's. they make more than somebody working at Walmart. Yeah, it's like $12 an hour. It's kind of pricey, that's some money. So if you're worried about that $40,000 a year that they have to pay the city, trust me, they got it going. So, you know, you could go from there. You can extrapolate as to how many of the scooters are around the city, how many times they're rented out, which are a lot, because there's, you know, everywhere you go, you see them. They're in every district in the city. So, you know, such as it is. So you can see what they are. But personally, I think the honeymoon is over. Kind of done with it. A little over it. Get out of my way. Get off my lawn. whatever. Coming up, it's Big T and Johnny Drummer, two legendary performers performing together in our studios. It's a lot of fun. You'll enjoy it. Great conversation. Lots of great music, too. So grab yourself a beverage and prepare yourself for that. Before we get into all that, though, let me hook you to our friends over at thegreenmancbd.com. CBD oil. Everybody's talking about it. There's a great article in the Memphis Flyer. It's a local, I guess you would call it an alternative newspaper. It's a weekly free thing. You can look it up online. Just look for the Memphis Flyer. And you'll see an article in there that came out a week or so ago about CBD oil. And the Green Man can hook you up. TheGreenManCBD.com is where it's all at. You got questions, baby, they got answers. Look for the CBD FAQs, facts, if you will, upper left-hand corner of the website at TheGreenManCBD.com. You'll see menu. Click on the FAQ thing. And every question that you've had about CBD, what it is exactly, how it's made, where it comes from, what can it do for you, it's all right there. Hey, will you be able to pass a drug test if you take it? Yep, I think you'll be just fine. So if you're hurting, if you've got some issues, if you just want to feel better, take a look at thegreenmancbd.com. Get their products. They'll ship it to you. Oh, Lord, yeah, free shipping within the United States on all orders over $50 here in the U.S., and it's leading national brands from Chronic Candy, 50 Shades of Green out of Kentucky, Veedverks, CB Distillery, Green Roads is the other one, edibles, oils, tinctures, vape kits, and e-juice cartridges. It's all there, and you can find it all at thegreenmancbd.com. Get you some now and start feeling better tomorrow. Coming up, Big T and the family with Johnny Drummer on the keys next, right here from Radioland. Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to MemphisBrewBus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink. Kick back and relax because we got a show for you guys tonight. I'm telling you, live music in the house. Big T and the family is here.
How you doing, sir?
Good, good. How about you?
Doing good. Thank you for coming on.
All right. Thank y'all.
And this gentleman over here on the other side of the table there, Mr. Johnny Drummer, is here. How you doing, sir?
All right. Okay.
Great. Feeling good. I'm excited. I heard you guys doing their warm-up, a little sound check, and it's going to be a grooving night tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You brought him a little Hammond in here. We have a big Hammond over there. We could have wheeled that in here, maybe.
Yeah, I know. I see. Thanks a lot.
Well, that thing's pretty heavy. That thing's pretty heavy there.
It's got some weight to it.
Yeah, it's a Hammond. You know it's a Hammond because that H stands for heavy. Oh, Big T, you brought us a new record.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know you've been working on
working on some new material. Yeah. Getting ready for the newest release. Should be coming soon. And by the way, you guys got the first of the batch, off the top of the batch.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, yeah.
Still had that new disc smell to it. I was so happy about it.
All right.
It's always a thrill to see you play. I mean, my God, you've been playing around these parts for a while now.
Oh, yeah.
Not just Memphis, but down in the Delta and the Chitlin
Delta,
Circuit, if you will.
The Delta is my stomping ground, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty popular around the Delta. And it's like, I guess the regular blues guys of the Delta, that was their dream, is to get out of the Delta and take the blues further than where they found it.
But Clarksdale is your home, isn't it?
Born and bred.
Born and bred in Clarksdale.
Yes, sir.
That's God's country down there.
Well, yeah, you could say that. I mean, it's been truly blessed. We've actually produced a lot of blues musicians, and at this point, we're teaching our young, so that we got a lot of young potential blues persons coming up. I got quite a few students that I've introduced to the blues, and they consist of really young students. So you can look out because they're coming. You know what I mean?
That's great that you're doing that, because I know that you do spend a lot of time with the youngsters and giving them the blues, as we said earlier, as you were telling me earlier.
Exactly. Yeah. If they want it, I'm the one to make the deal with, you know.
Well, it's important that it continues on. I mean, because we haven't seen too many youngsters out there. You've got a rhythm section tonight. These cats are fairly young guys, and they're playing it.
Right, yeah. That's the whole idea is that when guys like me and Mr. Johnny, when we can't do it no more, the blues, it'll continue. It'll go on.
Yeah, good.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Are you seeing a lot of enthusiasm from these youngsters?
Well, yeah. I mean, not to mention dedication, because these two youngsters I got now, it's like Ben Murray and Ryan Ridges. These two I handpicked from Delta State. And since then, they've been truly dedicated toward, you know,
right,
learning the art of blues, and as well as learning the history of blues.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's important. I know that. I know Leo Bud Welch used to do that. He would go to elementary schools and high schools.
Oh, yeah, Leo, my guy, man.
And he would play to those youngsters. And there, he said that there were a lot of times these kids just didn't know what was going on. They didn't understand this music.
Right.
And then they would, he said their eyes would just light up. And it was like, wow. And he would say, this is your music. This is your stuff.
Right.
So I'm glad you're doing that.
Well, yeah, and I'm glad to be here. I met my guy here, Mr. Johnny Drummer. And we clicked off right at the door, you know what I mean? It's been fun working with him here the last past, six, three or four months?
Yeah.
Since he's been back from Chicago.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, Mr. Johnny left us, you know.
Yeah. Had to go take the Memphis Blues up to Chicago, did you?
Yeah, yeah. I got tired of picking cotton. So
amen, brother.
I used to watch the birds fly. I wish I was a bird. I wonder where he going.
Yeah.
I was a bird where I could fly away from you.
That endless sack of cotton you're having to fill the whole way. That's hard work.
Oh, man. I got 15, started driving a tractor. Man, I didn't want to stop. When the time to get off, I want to turn the lights. There wasn't no light on the tractor. I wanted to keep going.
Oh, yeah. I've always thought about the fact that the cotton plant was sort of like God's joke, because the thing wasn't that tall, and you were forced to pick it. You had to bend over, and it'd wreck your back.
Okay.
And your hands, and wreck every bit of you.
Man, I was in the cotton field. I was so short, I had to reach up to the cotton when I first started. I had a croaker sack about 7 years old out there.
Oh, my God. I remember Miss Ruby Wilson told us once about how she would never wear cotton because of that. She had picked it for so long, and she's like, I don't even want to be around it.
Yeah,
it ain't gonna hang in my closet.
Right. Yeah,
I feel you. So Chicago, how long were you up there? How long were you up in Chicago?
Ooh, about 50 years.
About 50 years.
Yeah.
And I know the blues there is a bit different than it is here.
Not really.
Really?
People say it is, but it is no different.
It came from the South.
It came from here.
And all of them. During Muddy Waters' time, these guys left Mississippi to go north anywhere where they didn't have, like he said earlier, become sharecroppers or what have you.
Right.
And these guys all left, but they took their music to that territory, and their music made a big impact on places like Chicago.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know, like, John Lee Hooker, you know, that's a everybody equates him with that Chicago sound, but he was from around here.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Well, see, when I was small, see, I won't tell my age now, but I was born 19 long time ago.
You're a youngster, Johnny. You're a youngster.
A lot of those guys that left here, I knew them down here, like Ike Turner, Little Milton, and I didn't know B.B. personally, but Muddy Waters, I played with him a while in Chicago. Junior Wells taught me blowing harmonica.
Yeah.
And all those guys, you know, I knew back there. So I can't tell the difference in the Chicago blues and the Mississippi blues. Only thing about it, too, some of the guys play a little open string, we call open string or E.
Yeah, so open
like,
E.
You know, more in the South than they in the North. But if you good, if you could play, you know, it's not really them. But you can just about tell if a guy from the South that plays the guitar.
He's playing open tuning. Because a lot of that was done just to protect your work too. Because you'd have a guitar tuned in a way that nobody else knew about.
Nobody would touch your guitar.
Yeah. And I think that was a thing with the Wolfman, Mr. Belfour. He kept that guitar tuned into some mystical secret tuning.
Oh yeah,
if Robert you played Belfour. If you grab it, you couldn't play it no way.
That's so true.
And it was the same thing with T. Model Ford. You know, T. Model Ford's guitar would be so out of tune. But only he, only somebody could make that guitar sound like something was him.
Right. Yeah.
And if you picked it up, it would be, you was like, no.
You wouldn't want
no
to.
No thanks.
Yeah. But that was in a way sort of a poor man's copyright because nobody could copy your stuff.
No.
I mean, there's no way.
Sam Carr with the Jelly Roll Kings, my dad was Big Jack Johnson.
Yeah.
Sam Carr only played.
Did you say your dad was Big Jack Johnson?
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sam Carr would set his drums up with just the snare and the kick. Nobody would want to play his drums. You know, you had a lot of drummers would come in and say, man, I can play drums, but I can't play that.
But it's just two things.
Yeah.
I think Sam knew that,
And
that's why he set his drums.
Well, I'll tell you why. More or less, he probably didn't have a two drums when he started. He might have started with a bucket.
He did.
He did, actually.
He told me those stories, too.
With them cymbals, and what's this? You know,
my dad told me the stories that he would put a string on the wall of that cypress wood.
Yeah.
Back in the house.
The res on that cypress wood would give him a great slide sound.
He'd run like an old nail or something up and down it, yeah.
Take a brick hay bale wire.
Yeah.
And nail a board on the back of the house, you know.
Yeah.
And then you take a Coke bottle or any kind of bottle and you slide up and down.
Right, and get that, and you get a slide sound. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, sound. That's you know, like I said, if it's in you, it's got to come out some way or fashion. Yeah. You know?
And that thing sounded good, too.
Oh,
late at night, you hear that thing miles away.
Well, the house became an instrument.
Two strings of hay bale.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is true.
Oh, well, that's... and I'm glad that you're not just continuing the tradition, but helping to spread it and to keep it going. And I couldn't be more proud of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm coming from the times when everybody thought the blues was dying in the South. Because they was constantly saying, it's like you asked him earlier about the difference between Chicago blues and Delta blues.
Right.
Or Delta country blues, if you want to call it, you know. It's the styles, all those styles, Southern styles came out of the South. And it migrated to the North. You know what I mean? So basically everything pertaining to blues and blues history is definitely coming out of the South.
Yeah.
And when it got to Chicago, it may have changed a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Chicago did have their own style. That's pretty much the answer to that question.
It's a style, yeah.
Yeah, it's the
style. More of a boogie, isn't it? You know?
I would say... How would you say more? It was more unified, or it was organized, more organized. You
not
know what I mean?
Not as raw.
Yeah, not as raw. I agree.
Yeah.
Not as raw, and these guys coming from the South, they were so raw. It's like they had no idea what they was doing, and couldn't show you how to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So their style was like. And these guys probably was dealing with third grade education. They couldn't show you basically nothing that they was doing.
Right.
But everybody knew it just sounded great.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And it goes back to these guys that would play like that were listening to their to the guys that they were playing with. You know, they had to,
exactly.
Or it was going to sound really bad.
I mean, I come from a time where everybody started saying, well, maybe Robert Johnson was doing it wrong. But the guys that played with Robert Johnson, they did it wrong.
With him.
And it, that made it right.
Right. Yeah. It makes perfect sense.
They totally got him, didn't they?
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, yeah, Robert Johnson, you know, however you feel about the man, he... when his stuff was discovered, and it really opened up a lot of doors into rock and roll, and you know, all of that stuff was really, really
starting. Because
all points back to the blues.
We talking Chuck Berry.
Oh yeah,
the whole nine yard.
Yeah,
Chuck Berry introduced us to his style of rock and blues.
Yeah,
yeah. They didn't want to label it as blues at all. So,
funny thing, mention about Chuck, I had. Chuck came one way I was playing one night, right? I won't tell the whole story, take too long. But anyway, Chuck can play his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But now, he tried to play something else.
No.
It was out of his pocket.
I didn't see a guy like Chuck ever stepping out of his zone.
Because
he had a style all by himself. And if anybody wanted to do anything, they could sound like him.
Yeah.
He was too far ahead for even those other guys to catch up.
He was already ahead of his time.
Well, anyway,
we was having a jam session one night. We would let everybody sing two songs, right?
Yeah.
So Chuck came in. He was sitting over there. I didn't know him because he had cut his hair. He had been on vacation for a while.
Yeah.
And when he came in, this was back a while. His hair was cut and everything else, so he didn't know where he was. So I was calling everybody else to sing a couple of songs. So he said, everybody put the name on the papers. Say his name was Martin. I said, okay, we went through a bunch of guys. We said, let's get Martin Haynes. He came up, and he played.
Didn't take you long to figure that out.
Yeah, figure it out.
No, he tricked me. He said his name was Martin, and he played, he said, Sweet 16. So I'm thinking he talking about B.B. King, Sweet 16. It didn't join on me. And then he started to play it, but he didn't play it. Then he went to play another song, woke up this morning, and he screwed that one up. So he was finna play another one. And I said, oh, well, Martin.
Martin, you got to get down.
I would let you play another one, but I got to get somebody else up. And when...
oh, my God, you kicked Chuck Berry off stage.
Yeah, it's funny.
Oh, Johnny, that's
awesome.
And
when we took the break, the club owner said, you know who that guy is? He went sitting back at the bar. He said, you know who that guy is? I said, I looked around. I said, who? I said, who, Martin? He said, that's Chuck Berry. I said, man, don't give me that. Ain't no Chuck Berry. I said, Chuck Berry had a blue suit on and white shoes. And he said, no, it is. So I went on, I said, Martin. He said, your name, Chuck. I said, somebody say you Chuck Berry. He said, yeah. And then he pulled an airline credit card and showed me it. And had Chuck Berry on. I said, well, why you didn't tell me you were Chuck Berry? He said, well, I just wanted to see how they would accept me if they didn't know who I was. I said, well, now you know. Then he left.
Oh, my God. That's brilliant.
He left and went down to another club called Pepper's Lounge.
Yeah.
And he sat in, and he did this thing, tore the house up.
And probably went, y'all never believe what happened down the road here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, now we've got everybody in the room. What do you say? You want to jump into a tune here real quick? And
why not?
Let's get it going. I know everybody's excited to hear some music out of you guys.
C and D.
D.
C and D.
C and D.
Though you may not drive, great big Cadillac. Against the white wall. TV antenna laying in the back. You may not have a car at all, but remember, brothers and sisters, you can still stand tall. Just be thankful for what you got. You may not have a car at all, but remember, brothers and sisters, you can still stand tall. Diamond in the back, sunroof drop, digging the scene with the gangster name. Diamond in the back, sunroof drop, digging the scene with the gangster name. Though you may not drive a great big Cadillac, against the white wall, TV antenna, Zan in the back. You may not have a car at all, but remember, brothers and sisters, you can still stand tall. Diamond in the back, sunroof top, digging the scene with the gangster pin. Ooh, ooh. Diamond in the back, sunroof top, digging the scene with the gangster pin. Against the white wall. The deep blue sea. decision out for me.
And the family, Mr. Johnny Drummer, in the house tonight. Well, thank you, Mark.
And,
thanks
for
bringing this act in here tonight. I tell you, we have Big T and the family. And Mr. Johnny Drummer is also in the house over here, and we're just swapping stories, and some of them are true, and as they all are. And it's too late to start now, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's the way that goes, isn't it? Wait,
get that background over there.
Big T?
Yeah, that's me. What's left?
You, you're a busy man. You play a bunch, don't you?
I try to.
Now, yeah, I know you're mostly out of Clarksdale. You get up around these parts that often? You get up around Memphis?
Well, yeah, I've been working around the Memphis circuit now for the last 6 months or so.
Yeah.
With the Peabody, Rooftop. I've done the Memphis in May, as well as a few other gigs, golf. These are mostly private gigs and stuff like that.
Oh, sure, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tell you, it's a thrill to see you play, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know you and I've, you know, we've done this before. I think one other time you've been either in here or at the other place. But I always forget that who your father was. And you told me before we went on, you said to me, well, he gave me the blues, but you wanted to give them back.
And he said a deal was a deal.
A deal is a deal. That's right. You shake that hand, and that's the way that goes.
That's it. It's locked in. Yeah, the legendary Big Jack Johnson, that was my father. That was my introduction to the blues as well.
Yeah.
And that was also my introduction to Mr. Johnny Drummer.
Uh-huh. That's a good match, right?
Well, yeah. Along the way, I managed to meet a lot of other cats. I grew up around guys like the Jelly Roll Kings, which was Frank Frost, Sam Carr, Little David Porter. And these were the guys that was keeping the traditional Delta Blues style going.
Right.
At the time. And I was one of the youngest of the bunch. So I kind of came through that thing being taught by all the legends, you know.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Man, that's a good education to have, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the best.
You're going to learn it right.
Oh, it was fun, you know. But it wasn't real big fun.
Well, it's the blues.
Right.
And you got these two youngsters back here over here. Yeah, in the rhythm section tonight.
I got my main man, Big Ben Murray, and my main man, Ryan, on the drums. These guys, they were actually handpicked by me. I went through Delta State, and I said, I want this one, I want that one over there. And they said, well, you know, what choice do we have? I'm like, no choice.
No choice.
No. I mean, you're stuck with me, you know.
Yeah.
No, I mean, these guys have been truly good to and dedicated to learning the blues, the educational part of it. They've been very consistent and you know, and trying to stay good at it. My thing is that I'm here to teach blues as well as to make sure the blues stays alive.
And right.
These guys
right.
will make sure the blues will stay alive.
Yeah. That's good. No, they sound great. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of which, let's hear something from all of y'all. Yeah.
Okay, we got Mr. Johnny Drummer.
All right. Well, don't send for me now. I might show up.
That was like you caught him by surprise over there.
As long as you're not too late, I don't want to have to do that song by Sam and Dave. Hold on, I'm coming.
I said, come on, cause I'm running. Well, you know what? Since I was born in the Delta, let's do that.
Right on.
We're gonna do it in. All right, go something like this. Yeah. Well, I was born in the Delta, way down on the farm. Some call it behind the Mason-Dixon line. Some call it behind the sun. I was just a little boy when I lost my grandpa. Hard-working grandma. Let me tell you.
From Feature Story News in Washington.
In 15 minutes, you can smell that coffee making. On a firewood stove, you can smell that old good fat bacon. I'm gonna say it one more time. I'm gonna tell you one more.
Alligator, Mississippi.
Don't you know what?
What's that?
Johnny.
Since I was born, I sang these country songs.
Yes, sir.
I called them and sell my Cadillac and buy myself a mule.
Yes.
Well, I did that. But I sold my Cadillac and bought myself a Kia. Hey, one, two, three.
Yeah.
lot. Only one is a bell of hay. Gonna sell my Cadillac. Gonna buy myself a meal. Won't get stranded on this highway. Won't be running out of fuel. You know what? Today you buy a brand new car. Tomorrow they call it you. I won't have to worry about that. I jump on the back of my knee. Gonna sell my Cadillac. Gonna buy myself a new. Won't get stranded on this highway. Won't be running out of fuel. Can I say one more? Can I say one more?
One more time,
John. The new was here. 1,000 years B.C. Some wise man made a car. With history, gonna sell my Cadillac. Gonna buy myself a new. Won't get stranded on this highway. Won't be running out of fuel.
Yeah. Yes, sir. There you go, Johnny Drummer, ladies and gentlemen. Big T and the family, they got a new record that is coming out here very soon. If not already. And Mr. Johnny Drummer is in the house, and I've been listening to some of your stuff too, my friend. Right. You're quite the talent. In fact, Mark showed me a picture of you in, what, 1963, is that right? You had a guitar hanging around your neck.
Well, I just can't get the guitar to do what I want it to do.
Yeah, there it is.
I don't mess with it too much. I played a little bit.
And you played some drums, too. You played your namesake, didn't you?
Played drum, bass, guitar, harmonica, keyboard.
Yeah.
No.
Well, that organ sounds sweet, man. That's a Memphis sound right there, my friend.
Thanks to Big T. He the one got me bringing all this big stuff out here, you know.
Well, it sounds sweet.
When I first met him, you know, he's a good bass player, too. I saw him, he was standing in the background playing playing bass like he was scared to death. He must have been about 18, 19. I guess. He don't know that I saw
him. Well, I was playing with my dad, so yeah, I had a right to be scared.
Where'd you learn to play the organ and the keys? Was it like a lot of guys playing in the church or playing with friends?
Yeah, well, you know, the first song that I played, a cousin of mine's named Fred Bonner, he could play the keyboard. Well, as a piano, really. So he showed me how to play a little boogie woogie, you know.
Yeah.
And that one song, and I would go into school that they had a piano, I would get on that, play that one song.
Yeah.
And that was about it. But I never thought I'd could play it. And I left it alone. Then I went in the military, and then I started to play the drums.
Uh-huh.
You know. And then while I was in drums, I had got my band, put it together 6 months later. Then had a bass player that used to play with Magic Sam. His name was Odell Campbell.
Yeah. Yeah.
He showed me how to play the bass, you know. And then I started to play the bass, you know. Then I played pretty good for a minute. I even played with Muddy Waters for a couple of weeks.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I played. And Muddy was going on the road.
Yeah.
And I had a day job. I was working for the city of Chicago then.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go.
You know? Oh, no.
But I didn't go. I could have went, but I didn't go, you know. And the guitar, it's what I do with the guitar. I learn it what I know. Then I hand it to the guitar player. This is the blueprint.
Here's what
now,
I know.
You do like this. Now you build on it. You play what you want, and that's where I write with my songs.
Oh, I see. Like so you play those instruments and show them what you. Because it's not like you're writing it down. Yeah.
I put it all on a disc or something, right. And let the whole band hear it before we go to the studio.
Yeah,
and I pick out everybody's part and they play it. You know.
Right. So you play by ear on that thing?
Yes, I do. Because, you know, you give me some music, I can figure it out after I look at it, you know.
Right.
But I can't play it and read it and do it.
Oh, yeah, that's a gift,
at the same time, yeah. Because I know I was playing with this guitar player. He said, well, play the A-flat diminished 9 or something.
And you went, what? I would have done the same thing.
I said,
what are you talking about?
I do, I play A-flat 7, and you play the rest.
I don't have enough fingers for all of this.
You know what I mean?
But, right. Well, it sounds really good, and I appreciate your time down here tonight, and I appreciate your music, too, my friend.
And one other thing, Junior Wells, he's the one who started me the blowing harmonica.
Really? It was Junior that did it?
Yeah, we was working together. Wow. He brought me one, and I went home. I had a little son running around. I gave it to my son. My son started running through the house playing it with. Then I go back. Junior said, where's your harmonica? Oh, man, I gave it to my son. He went and bought me another one. Hit me upside the head with the thing. Mother, you call me a dirty name. Said, you blow this one. And try showing me some licks, you know.
I noticed you have a chromatic in your bag there.
Yes.
That's a neat instrument. It's hard to play, I know.
I'm telling you, man, it is hard. It's tricky.
It is tricky. I've heard there was a couple of jazz guys that would play the chromatic harmonica because you can't really bend notes with it very well.
Right.
But you can get some neat sounds out of it.
Yeah, sometimes.
Does it have double the holes than a normal harmonica has?
On this chromatic, it's got double holes in it, you know. And,
oh, it's a big...
Is that the kind of like Stevie
Yeah, that's
Wonder
a chromatic.
Play,
yeah,
where you get those high notes?
Yeah, and sometimes when you inhale, you're supposed to exhale, and exhale, then sometimes you get turned around, you know. It's better when you're in minor keys with it, you know, than some things, you know. It's tricky, you know.
Ain't nothing wrong with you.
But tricky. I just play what I feel, you know. I don't try to play like nobody. I don't try to be nobody. I just be me.
That's the best way to do it, Johnny. It really is.
All right.
You know, because far too often musicians, everybody has their influences and whatnot, and it kind of comes. I know your daddy was a big influence to you, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Right.
And you know, I hear a lot of that in you, but when you listen to you for a while, it becomes Big T.
Yeah.
Thank you. And that's what I try to be, Big T.
Well, you see, we was on with his daddy, Jack
Johnson. Big Jack Johnson, yeah.
Okay, now, we was at the Chicago Blues Festival.
Yeah.
On the main stage, which is the band shell, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody wanted to fight to get that stage. Well, I had it, and Jack Johnson had it. Mm-hmm. At the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that main stage is hard to get.
Oh, yeah. And we're people for, well.
Yeah, they're fighting for that spot. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jack, he's got that old sound that you know, that came from down here.
Yeah.
It came from the country.
Yeah.
You know. And you know it when you hear it, you know. And it's natural. Sometimes the timing, well, you know, some people might not know what time it is. Some might know timing. And some, what they played the way they felt, you know.
Right.
They didn't just play 4 bars and change. They may play 5.5 bars and change, you know.
Actually, they changed whenever they
felt. When they felt it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But you knew it was a change coming.
Oh, yeah.
Because the build-up says a change is about to come.
Yeah. He would lead you into that change with that third note he's throwing at, you know, or that seventh note.
You're in the groove, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, here it comes. But it sounds right when it's done that way.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
But a lot of people that sit in and they're used to playing precise or precision, they'll say, oh, that's wrong.
Yeah, no.
No. No, it's not wrong. What the hell?
Yeah. Well, if you play
like
it wrong with
them. Like you were telling me on break, and we were talking about Chicago and Southern music, and I said that's, you know, down here it's a little bit more raw. It's not
exactly,
as refined.
Exactly.
It's the same kind of thing,
and
right?
And who are they from the north to say whether these people in the south are right or wrong about their style? And how they feel their
You can't define that.
Well, one reason I tell you one reason, like I was born in Alligator, so the people we thought everybody from Clarksdale were rich. You know what I'm trying to say?
Really?
But now the difference, the reason people say Mississippi music or Chicago music, only thing different, the guys they play with more effects and.
Yeah, because down here, you guys just plug in.
There you
that's
go.
It.
You know, there's no
it.
Foot, there's no stomp boxes, no nothing. It's all tone.
You were talking about Robert Belford earlier.
Yeah.
Mr. Robert, man, I met him. I played with him a gang of times down at Reds in my hometown.
Yeah.
Mr. Robert had his own style.
Yeah.
And he used to tell me he would just sit out in front of a juke joint all day long. And he'll do that all day.
Yeah.
And make money.
Just playing that one lick.
Yeah. All day long.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? His style. And he would never get tired. Mm-hmm. It's like one man, one band.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And his sound, you couldn't imitate his sound because you didn't know his tuning. You never knew.
You didn't know his tuning. You didn't have his guitar. You didn't have his amp. You didn't have his fingers. You know.
Yeah. Even if you did, you couldn't play it.
Right.
No, you couldn't play it.
Yeah. And see, the thing about it, a lot of guys got famous because they only knew about two or three songs. The thing about it, especially on the road, but that's in everything, even the Temptations.
Right.
They probably would do maybe four or five songs, but then again, they go into another town, do those same four or five songs.
Yeah.
But now, if you're playing regular in a club every night, they want you to play 100 different songs.
Oh, sure.
You know,
well, that's how R.L. Burnside made a living off of off of that one lick.
I met him only through Big Jack, and their styles was somewhat totally different.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Big Jack could actually sit and play with R.L.
Yeah, that North Mississippi Hill Country blues thing, like, and then you got the Kimbrough family, which is that whole Cotton Patch thing.
The Hill Country style.
Yeah.
It's a big difference in Delta style and Hill Country style. The Delta style was more Muddy Waters flavor, and then when it came to Junior Kimbrough, R.L. Burnside, these guys would they basically it was country. It was more country blues than it was than anything. And to say that, I need to give a shout out to the Baltimore Blues Society.
Mm-hmm.
They've been listening in. Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Well, hello, Baltimore.
Yeah. And also, Miss Carol Mobley. There's a list. I have a new booking agent. She's down there getting us together. And also, Michael Frank back in Chicago, LWE Music. He recorded about five or six CDs with him, you know.
And how about Jim O'Neill, Rooster Blues?
Well, Jim is all right. We were supposed to have been doing something, but him and Michael is partners, so I can't record for both of them, you know what I mean?
we don't want
to. Oh, come on, Johnny, sure you can.
We don't want
them problems. Yeah.
You can't let the man tell you what to do, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm about to give y'all a little taste of my daddy, Big Jack Johnson.
Oh, please do.
His style and the way he articulated something like this. So bad since my baby been gone. I ain't got nobody to stay home with me. I ain't got nobody to stay home with me. I feel so bad since my baby been gone. Take a swing with me. Oh, baby, take a little swing with me. I feel so bad. I'm in misery. Oh, baby, take a swing with me. Come on, baby. Take a little swing with me. I feel so bad since my baby been gone.
That's how you put a plug in that one, there. Yeah.
Well, I think I'm gonna try one more. I'm gonna do a little bit of something by Muddy Waters. Before I do that, I got a young lady in here. She's been good to me and taking care of me and stuff. I'm gonna do one just for her.
Uh oh. Uh oh, look out, Natalie.
See. You are my sunshine. My only sunshine, you make me happy when skies are gray. Never knew, dear, how much I love you. We gon' take my sunshine away.
Sweet.
All right. Now we've got that out of the way, fellas.
Gotta get the hang
lamps
out of the way, right? Oh.
Let's go wide open.
Classic there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember Elmore James doing a version of that tune there that had kind of a rumble to it, you know?
Right. Elmore did do his tune.
Yeah.
His version of that, along with Muddy Waters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who was the
Jimmy Reed?
Yeah,
yeah. Jimmy Reed did Bright Lights in Big City along with that tune, right. I think, you know.
Well, Jimmy Reed, yeah, he was a original.
Yeah, Jimmy Reed.
Jimmy Reed put out a record that had violin on it with blues, and you don't think that would work, but it works beautifully. You know, we were talking off air about doing a funk blues thing. I'm interested in how you're going to pull that off, Mr. Funky Boy.
Mr. Grady Thomas is going to make sure.
Well, Grady can he can do it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, if anybody can do it.
T, did you ever play with Muddy?
No. I was too young. I met Muddy many times.
Yeah, through your dad, yeah?
Well, yeah, my dad worked on the same plantation as Muddy, and, yeah. And you know, growing up as a kid.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
I was born in Farrows, Mississippi.
Farrows.
Which is right across the cotton field from Stovall, Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
Where Muddy Waters came off from.
Okay. So you were just on the other side of the field.
I was just a tiny kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I remember these guys after they left and went to Chicago, I guess, to become famous blues guys or what have you.
They went to go be big guys.
But yeah. They actually start coming back with the new Cadillacs and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was a different time, you know?
Yeah, it was.
Because it was so... I mean, you're dealing with a country that was already being torn up as it was politically, and they were trying to get the equal rights thing going through, and the racial division was trying to stop that stuff. And meanwhile, really the only way for a lot of guys that were trapped down in there was to become famous and make good music and go north, get the hell out.
Right, you know? Exactly. That was the whole idea. Muddy Waters caught the train, you know
what I mean? Yeah, I'm out of here, man.
But most of the guys, they didn't really leave here to go play music. They left to go get a job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, like Muddy Waters.
Go get a factory job, you know, somewhere.
When he got
yeah.
to Chicago, he started working for the Ice House, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was like, any job would do better than picking cotton. So.
Oh, God, yes. No, I get it. But I like that it came back. You know, it came back home. And
yeah.
It's not that it ever really left, but but a lot of those guys still.
One of the blues guys wrote that the blues came home to roost.
The mistake is being made.
When the rooster come in, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it's like the blues coming back home to you know.
You know the mistake is being made right now. I hope all the disc jockeys are listening.
Yeah,
most of play our records, but they never call our names.
Yeah. You know? They are horrible about that, and you're right.
You know what I mean? Somebody, they may call 10 names, play 10 records, then at the end they may call everybody's name, but think about it, if you're driving in your car, by the time they call your name, you're gone.
Yeah.
You know, you don't hear.
No.
And some people, they want to hear who this is and that, but you know, devil guys, they used to just talk, and they know who you was, you know
sure.
what I mean? But now it's not being. They're not calling your name. They're just playing the music.
We make it a point here at Radio Memphis to do that because we don't play music that you're not going to find on other radio stations.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I know, and I've heard from listeners that'll say, thank you for doing that because I'll hear a song and go, oh, my God, who is that? Who is that?
Right.
And a lot of times they'll send me a message, who is that that's playing? And I'll write them back. I'll say, you know, that's Johnny Drummer. And, you know, it's that kind of thing. And then immediately, what was it, somebody told me, it becomes expensive listening to Radio Memphis because they're always going back over to iTunes and they're downloading songs. You know, they're buying songs, you know, which, you know, you need to get this record
so
on.
So you wanted a good DJ. So.
Well, you know, because I appreciate what you guys do.
Right.
You know. And
we appreciate you.
Well, thank you.
More like you.
I think there is always something to be said for the veterans of the business. You know, the guys that have been out there playing club after club
they
after club.
They know what the struggle is all about.
You know, and I know a lot of that hasn't changed. You know, there's still crooked club owners. There's still bad bookers and management guys. But you guys have done it for years and put up with it.
Right.
You know, you don't necessarily have a you know a pistol in your boot, although if you did, it wouldn't bother me at all because you got to do it. But it's tough, and young musicians need to understand what that's like. You know, and it may never change, but there's always going to be, because this business is filled with snakes and you know, you make a record and the first thing, somebody's going to stick their hand out and say, pay me.
Yeah.
You know, pay me to do something. And and that's why I like talking to you guys and listening to what you have, because I still think that you'll always have a voice.
Yeah.
No matter how old you get, no matter how many shows you've done or how many records you put out, you always will have that voice.
Yeah.
And I think that's important that it's heard.
Yeah, you're going with you.
You know, and it's important, and I don't think that anybody out there who's a fan of this genre, specifically of blues, will debate me on that. I mean, because it's important, and you going out there and showing these young kids, hey, this is how this works. I'm going to give you the blues. You can't give it back. You know,
that's the deal.
That's the deal. Now, you got to give it to somebody else. Give it to somebody else.
They got
to
pass it on.
They got to pass it on. You got these two guys back here that are definitely, they're doing it, you know. Great job. I got time for another tune here before break. How about that?
Okay.
All right. Okay. A tune.
You want get down, get funky, whatever you want to do. Cheating.
That was nice.
That was nice there. It's Big T and the family. Mr. Johnny Drummer also on the keys over here tonight. Well, Big T and the family. Mr. Johnny Drummer himself is in studio. Thank you guys so much for coming in tonight. I really do appreciate you being here.
Thank you all for having us.
You know, we like to say that we've built this whole thing for guys like you.
Thank you.
And, you know, it doesn't, you don't hear too much of this stuff out there in the other radio. You know, and radio has changed so much that it's, you know, it's easy to get lost in the shuffle, if you will, pardon the pun. But what you guys are doing and what you guys have done is very important. And you know, you going out there and teaching the youngsters or showing them, you know, hey, what can I do with a guitar? You know,
if I didn't have the blues, I wouldn't have nothing.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you,
yeah. No, that's
well, you're welcome to have my blues.
He's been trying to give them away all night.
Look, I got a witness over there.
I understand, T, that you are, in essence, the house band at Ground Zero. Is that right?
Exactly. I've been the house band for Ground Zero for the last 15, maybe 16 years.
My goodness.
I've been working side by side at one time with Morgan Freeman, as well as Bill Luckett, William Bill Luckett, and Howard Stovall.
Yeah.
Right.
Howard Stovall and I were, we are best of friends. We've been the best of friends since childhood. And Howard Stovall introduced me to Bill Luckett. Well, I've known Bill Luckett all of my life.
Yeah, because Bill's from there, isn't he?
Exactly. And Morgan is from Charleston, Mississippi. And the two of them decided they would introduce me to Morgan Freeman, which at the time, Morgan Freeman decided to start a club called Ground Zero. This was before the actual Ground Zero happened.
Right.
And they had a squabble about that a few years back. And I've been the house band. I created the atmosphere, the sound of Ground Zeroes, and it at one time it all revolved around me. It kept me grounded for a long time. It wouldn't allow me to venture out and do shows other places in other countries and stuff like that. And so I had to actually knuckle down and allow Ground Zero to venture off into other music other than mine, you know what I mean? So now it's doing okay because it's turning out a lot of young musicians that,
yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's giving them the opportunity to be heard, you know what I mean?
Well, Morgan is a big fan of the blues anyway. I mean, I know this is his home, and he's not really a musician, but he's always been very focused on not just, you know, providing a place for you guys to play, but for bringing the kids in, the younger guys to say, "Hey, let's give it a shot."
Yeah, he's been a great supporter of that.
Yeah. I'd love to sit down and talk with him sometime.
Oh man, he's the greatest.
I know he's a busy guy.
I'm not just saying that because he's my homeboy.
Yeah. Well, we need to bring him next time you're in. Bring him with you.
Well, we'll see about that.
We'll see about that.
Yeah.
We'll make it happen.
Never Hell, know.
Well, apparently, you know, this is the only blues show with banana pudding now, so you know that might help.
Never know.
It's Elvis week. Hey.
It's Elvis week, so you know, yeah, we got a little banana pudding to throw.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
T-shirts are on sale tomorrow.
We've got a bit of time here before we. I mean, we still got another half hour or so of this program here, but I'd like to hear some more from you guys if you would, you know, pull something out of the hat. No.
Look what we got in the hat, fellas.
Uh oh, Johnny's got something. Johnny's thinking.
Me or you?
What you want?
Okay, B flat. Ain't no secret in small town.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're going to do a song called Ain't No Secret in a Small Town.
That's
and
so
y'all
true,
y'all know
man.
I'm not.
That's true.
And y'all know.
This is a small town. Very big small town.
It's a big small town. Come on now.
Better be careful what you say. Better watch what you do. Because always somebody got their eyes on you. No place you can run to. No place you can't be found. Well, because there's no secrets. There's no secrets in a small town. Everybody seems to know exactly where you are. They can't find you. They're not looking for your car. No place you can run to.
no place you can't be found. Because there's no secrets. There's no secrets in a small town. Y'all know I'm not telling a lie. Huh? Talk to me. Yeah. Well, but you know what? They check out the dude drop in. Check out the hole in the wall. No place you can run to, because the town is too small. See nobody see you, only fooling yourself. They will see you coming in and out of that Gucci motel. There's no place you can run to. No place can be found. Well, because there's no secret. There's no secrets in a small town. Can I say one more? Can I say one more? If you go to the casino, no. You win a dollar or two. Everybody know where you live. They will start begging you. That's no place you can run to. No place you can't be found. Because there's no secret. There's no secrets in a small town.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said about it, he'll tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so true. So
hey,
true.
Look out, Jay boy. I didn't know you had it in you.
I got
it. No. Seriously, Mr. Johnny. When I met Mr. Johnny, I met him through my father. Big Jack told me he was tough. Well. And I said right then and there, when he moved back to Mississippi, I said, I'm gonna get with this guy. You know, me and this guy got a lot of background history that pours all out. I mean, it's Robert Bilbo Walker. I worked with Robert Bilbo. You met Robert Bilbo Walker. And these two guys are from the same hometown.
Yeah. Right.
Alligator. Yeah. And they had two different styles. Oh, yeah. And it was back to that thing that you talked about earlier, that those changes.
Yeah.
Robert was one of the ones that got stuck in that time frame that says he changed when he gets ready.
Right, right.
And if the band is with him, they're going to change when he get ready, not when they get ready.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I had to learn that right off the bat. I played with Robert maybe 10 years or so, and I learned his style. And one thing about it, he was very consistent at changing like that. So you can count on him being on a cut time, a half time, a piece of time.
Yeah, you could lean on that,
Yeah.
You do it the same way every time.
Every time, right. Yeah. You got to know.
Well, you know, if you notice back then, we say us older guys. when we cut a record, with our band.
Exactly.
And we could hit the bandstand, whatever you heard, that's the way we sounded.
Exactly.
At all time, you know what I mean? And some of the guys that
woodcut time. Here, when they came to Chicago, a lot of guys was there. They used to cutting,
right,
playing on time. But some of them, you know, that came and didn't make it because they had a better sound. The sound was better here, but sometimes the guys couldn't play with them because, like you said, you couldn't play with them because they were playing on time.
They couldn't feel it. Yeah, they couldn't feel it.
No. Those quick changes coming at them, they couldn't feel it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Johnny, when you were, I picked up on how you were saying "well" in your song.
Uh-huh.
I think the Parquets stole that and they just added like
"wow." They may have had
that "wow" thing. That, you know, is their trademark. I think they got that from you. Really,
it could have.
Oh, Johnny Guitar watching them get you for that one.
Yeah.
Big T and the family in the studio. Mr. Johnny Drummer is here as well. We're about to wrap it up here. We're going to get a squeeze a tune or two out of these cats. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, nice little umbrella for my cocktail later.
1, 2, 3. And let your daddy see. You got something down there, baby, with a hell out of me. 1 and 1 and 2, 6 and 3 and 9. Give me some of yours, I give you some of mine. Stoop down, baby, and let your daddy see. You got something down there, baby, with a hell out of me. What did the rooster tell the duck? You ain't so good looking, but you sure know how to scrub you down, baby. And let your daddy see. You got something down there, baby, but a hell out of me. Two old maids was playing in the bed. One turned the other one and said, wake up, old maid, don't sleep so damn sound. You know not what to promise when you first lay down. Do it down, baby, and let your daddy see. You got something down there, baby, what the hell out of me. Do it down, baby, and let your daddy see. Do it down, baby, and let your daddy see. You got some down there, baby, with a hell out of me. What did the frog tell the eel? The more you wiggle, child, the better it feels. Do down, baby, and let your daddy see. You got some down there, baby, with a hell out of me. Do down, baby, let your daddy see. Stoop down, baby, and let your daddy see. You got something down there, baby, where the hell out of me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it right there.
That's
about right.
All right, now. I ain't going to tell you about that big fat woman of mine. Now.
Well, come on now.
Wait a minute. Look.
Yeah, he's over there. You know.
Look, you want me to tell you about that big fat woman?
Please do.
Wait a minute. I had an old lady, big and fat, but you know her stoop down wasn't no big and that. Stoop down, baby.
Yeah.
Let your daddy see. You got something down there, baby. Where the hell out of me. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Pass that tip bucket around.
Well, I got a short one I'm going to try out on y'all.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. been undone. Now your man undone. And we'll see, and we'll see what you have done. Mr. Johnny.
Ah, yeah, that's it right there. CC Ryder.
Mother, mother. There's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother. There's far too many of you dying. You know we got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, father. We don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, and only love conquers hate. You know we got to find a way, bring some understanding here today. Picket light, picket sight. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me so you can see what's going on. What's going on? What's going on? Tell me what's going on. Oh, yeah, and no, all. Everybody says we're wrong, they do. But who are they to judge us? Simply cause our hair is long. You know we got to find a way. Bring some understanding here today. And picket light, and picket sign. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me so you can see what's going on. What's going on? What's going on? Tell me what's going on.
All right.
y'all for letting us be ourselves. I want to give a special shout out to my main man Van Durr.
Oh, that's nice. Big T and the family. Right, Mr. Johnny Drummer, thank you so very much, my friend. Anytime you guys want to come play with us and come sit in the studio, you are more than welcome.
Hi, this is Reverend Oma from the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop. The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical needs, such as candles, gemstones, herbs, gifts, and more. We now also stock CBD oil, vape kits, lotion, and edibles. The Broom Closet is also host to monthly workshops, rituals, and drum circles for those interested in conscious living. The Broom Closet is the only place to get your cards read by me, Reverend Oma, or one of our other amazing readers. Discover the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop in historic downtown Memphis or online at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, let us help you light your path.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Because Mick Colossa is here with a brand new record. Mick Colossa and the TaylorMade Blues Band, 149 Delta Avenue. Is that what you're calling it here?
That's it.
Yeah. And you had pointed me to the list of artists that you have on this record, and it is substantial, my friend.
Couple of friends, yeah.
Yeah, a couple of friends, yes. Yeah, you.
The main band. My gosh, Leo Goff on bass. Leo joined us on bass. Because my bass player, who I was sharing with Watermelon Slim, said, I got to make a choice and I've known Slim longer. About a month before we went into the studio, and I just called Leo and I said, are you available? And he said, oh, yes, please. So, and you can't do better than Leo Goff.
No, Leo's the man. Yeah.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or tune in. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Well, that was more fun than we could shake a stick at, that's for sure. There, that was some great fun, great music, and just an overall fun evening, as it were, there on the old Booze and Blues show. You can learn more about what's happening there by looking for Booze and Blues on Facebook. Look for Radio Memphis, Booze and Blues, and you'll find the show. And be a part of everything that we do in there with Jeff and I. Jeff has been out for a while. He's dealing with a couple of issues. He's been traveling a bit. So, but he'll be back soon. Any rate, that's every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Central. Tune in and listen to it at radio-memphis.com and whatever device that you have. It doesn't really matter. We don't need an app for that. So, go nuts. If you happen to have an app, the TuneIn app, you can find us there at Radio Memphis. So there you go. Do me a favor. Take this show and share it on social media, if you would, please. That would help us out a lot. If you really enjoyed it, please to do so. And wherever it is that you got it, did you download it from iTunes or from the Google Play Store or wherever, leave us a comment, rate the show. We'd love to hear about it. That helps us out quite a bit. So there you go. I'm done. I got to go. In the meantime, please take care of yourselves and one another. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other, okay? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.